Welcome to Manager Tools. Feedback dialogue is stupid guidance. Part one. This cast answers these questions. Should I have a dialogue with my directs when giving feedback? Does having a dialogue help performance? Does having a dialogue improve my ability to give feedback? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, we're excited to announce that we finally figured out a way to include our roadmap product free for every person who attends an effective manager conference. Whether you're in person or whether you're virtual, we have figured out a way to allow all of you to benefit from our roadmap product. Roadmap has been enormously successful. Tens of thousands of managers are using it very successfully, tracking their progress. Organizations are looking at how managers are doing. We review people's performance and point out when they're falling behind or when they're doing well. We recently had a manager that clocked 40 instances of feedback in a week. So you can't tell me anymore you don't have time for feedback. And the reason he knows that, of course, is he's using Roadmap. So come to a virtual or an in-person EMC, and you'll get Roadmap.
Well, the common wisdom these days, Mark, is that when we give managers feedback, we should create time and space for a dialogue with our directs. And that's dumb. In our view, but you know, what do we know? We've only been doing this for
I'm writing right now. It's taking quite a while. There's a lot of data. Our upcoming cast about the data we have about managers and feedback, and I realized that the popular wisdom, the popular notion, the nostrum that you're supposed to have a dialogue with your direct was refuted fairly nicely by our data. Now, I didn't know that at the time, because at the time we started gathering this data, people weren't saying you were supposed to have a dialogue. Some people were, but it wasn't as popular as it is now. Now it's all the rage, and it's still just wrong, just right. Bad.
Look, before you tune us out, we're not saying you should not dialogue with your directs or communicate with your directs or have relationships with your directs. Matter of fact, listen to our other podcasts. You'll find out that we have a pretty strong opinion about the necessity of managers having relationships with their directs. We're specifically talking here about dialogue in the context of feedback. Of negative feedback, right? So don't misconstrue us and just turn us off like, oh, these guys are just, you know, hardcore ex-military types who don't believe in relationships. You would be missing us entirely if you thought that were the case.
Yeah, exactly. So, and look, since we have so much other data about feedback, I was afraid this guidance data would get lost and all the other stuff. So I thought I'd bring it out separately. And look, the idea of having a dialogue when you give negative feedback, and by the way, the fact that it's negative feedback and not all feedback is telling to me. It's very, very popular these days, and it's worth somebody standing up and saying, it's wrong. Let's debunk it. So here's our outline. First, at high level, feedback conversations, dialogues, discussions, whatever, are misguided. These kind of discussions are not supported by the data. Discussions about your direct's intent when they did something that turned out wrong are worthless. Discussions about what already has happened are worthless. Asking for reasons why one of your directs did what he or she did reinforces the wrong things. And lastly, particularly for those engineering and technical managers, root cause analysis and feedback are different. And if you're applying root cause analysis thinking to your approach to negative feedback, you're wrong.
Yeah, very disappointing.
No. Look, you can choose to be effective or you can choose to do what you want.
Ouch.
Either one.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so let's get to the meat of it. Feedback, quote unquote, conversations are misguided. Why is that?
Yeah, first of all, this has been popular for several years. Conversation, dialogue with your direct, discuss it, sit down. In fact, I love it when they say make time and space. Sure, because you know, human beings can make time and make space. Basically, what they're saying is prioritize it. And it's just, it, Doesn't work. Managers won't do it. You know, we've been gathering data about feedback for the past.
And that's, I guess that's a key point. I just want to go back because I started this whole thing off by saying it was dumb, right? Which sounds, I don't know, probably might rub people the same way. But when I say dumb, I mean it's just not effective. That's the point. It's not whether it's right or wrong. It's just not effective.
Yeah. Yeah. All the data we ever gathered about feedback said the longer you take, the worse it gets. That the more you have a discussion with your directs, again, we were not testing for this modern trend, this modern theme of, I think of it as just being pandering to managers. But the data is still there. So, by the way, I mentioned this earlier. I want to mention it again. Nobody suggests that we should have a conversation, a discussion, a dialogue when we give positive feedback. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That alone tells you all you need to know about this popular myth of dialogue. They're only talking about negative feedback because they literally don't understand that feedback is both positive and negative. Nor do they have any clue, let alone data, that positive feedback is far more important than negative feedback. Now, they would argue, I would think, that, well, I'm trying to solve a problem of managers, and that is they struggle with negative feedback. Yes, and you're trying to make it easier for managers. While it makes them feel good, they will think, oh, that sounds good. And the end result is less effective performance. So when you say you're serving managers, when the manager's job is to improve performance, to increase results and retention, but then you do something that is for the manager as an individual, but not for the organization. You put the manager, I hate to say it, I hate to get too highbrow here, but you put the manager in an unethical position. You're asking him or her to choose between what is easy for them and what is effective for the organization. And look, it's worse than that. These people who are suggesting this dialogue thing not only don't understand feedback, and by the way, when they say, when I say feedback, I mean negative. Everyone understands that that's what feedback is. It's not
incorrectly.
True. it's not true. People who don't know what they're talking about, yes, those people say that when they think feedback, they think negative. So therefore, all feedback is negative. But all the data we have says positive feedback is way better than negative feedback. All of it. But nobody wants to deal with data because it's not fun. You can't make managers feel better about themselves unless you say that all feedback is negative feedback. Yeah, basically, not only are they trying to serve the manager, I believe a big portion of this, it's much worse than we've been saying. They're not just trying to please the manager. They're trying to make feedback reception palatable for the receiver, the direct. Okay, they're trying to say, oh, no, you need to give this person this feeling. You need to help this person do this. Unfortunately, that is not the purview of feedback. The desire that so many of these recommenders, I guess, or whatever, that we should engage with directs happen to coincide. It's no surprise, should be no surprise to anyone. With the advent of directs' feelings being an important area of focus for organizations. And now I'm about to say one of those things that, you know, over the course of the last 15, 16 years, a bunch of people said, I can't believe you said that. But folks, let me just tell you something. Individuals' feelings are not the purview of the organization. They're not. Their output, their productivity, their ability to learn, to change what they do when their results do not serve the organization is the purview of the organization. Now, you might say, well, those things are affected by emotions. Yes, that's true. But that doesn't mean that, by definition, everything upstream of what the organization cares about, if the organization can be seen to care, because it's not a human being with emotions. It's a human entity, or it's a entity or a personhood. It gets granted personhood, but it doesn't exist. You can't, if everything upstream is in the purview of what the organization or entity cares about, then everything is in the purview of the organization. which of course makes no sense. Now, I will tell you, I liken the embrace of Direct's feelings, this idea that Direct's feelings are important, to the difference between implication and inference. So say I give my Direct some negative feedback. Can I give you some feedback? Sure, boss. What is it? When you miss your deadline and don't notify other people, it slows down the project. Can you communicate better next time? Now, if the Direct says to me, you made me feel unworthy, you devalued me, or worse, you're only saying that because I'm a woman or I'm a person of color. These are inferences that the Direct has made. Okay? They have inferred something that, of course, in this case is not there. Although certainly there are times when inferences are correct. Not this time, as you might imagine. They're surely not based on any implication from the manager. In this case, it happens to me. I'm the bad guy here. Because we only addressed their behavior. We did not address who they were, their identity. We did not attack them. And let's go a step further. You'll hear some people say, well, I feel that my work is me. I'm sorry, it's not. That's like saying a tree is a house. They're two different things. I'm sorry. Now, look, I understand you care about your work. I understand you associate with your work. I understand you embrace your work and you care deeply about it, but it doesn't make it the same thing. And so you can't tell me, well, when you attack my work, first of all, the organization is obligated, liable, responsible to, at times, critique, again, here we are only talking about the negative, your work, right? By definition. Now, the problem is, it's the emotional inference that causes it to be a critique rather than an asking for a change in one's behavior. Again, we only address their behavior. Now look, many longtime Manager Tools community members will remember my umbrella story. And I'll just tell it again because I get asked this question all the time. Oh, Mark, tell the umbrella story. So got on an elevator once with somebody else. Walked into the elevator, turn around, face the front, fairly small elevator. Right after we got on, another guy gets on and he turns around and faces the front. Small elevator, there's room for two people in the back, maybe three. My buddy and I are standing at the back with our backs against the wall. Guy standing in front of me with a long coat on, umbrella underneath his arm. And as the elevator starts to go up, he starts looking in his pockets for his keys to his motel room. And as he does so, rooting around in his overcoat pockets, his umbrella starts hitting me in the chest. I sort of looked at my buddy like, you know, can you believe this guy? I was getting ready to tap him on the shoulder when the door opened at the next floor and he got off. And I turned to my buddy. I said, man, that guy made me mad. And my buddy said, no, he didn't. He poked you with an umbrella. You got mad all by yourself. So we didn't make our Direct feel anything. We're not devaluing their feelings. We're devaluing the connection between our feedback about their performance, which the organization pays them for, and which we're obligated to manage, maintain, improve, and so on, and shape, if you will. We're separating what we did from how they feel, because human emotions are not caused by other people. They're caused by our own selves, right? So that's the relationship that I see, this idea that, well, you know, I need to be aware of my Direct's feelings and I need to craft a model that will make my Direct feel good about the conversation that we're going to have when I give him or her negative feedback. The problem with that is the model, and I'm not against being sensitive to other people's feelings. Come on. We live in a world of 7 billion people. Let's all try to get along, shall we? That said, any model that puts the Direct's feelings near the top of its goals, while essentially massively diluting the primary purpose of the model, is worthless. It's backwards. And part of professional maturity is emotional maturity, the willingness to say, no, there are tough conversations we need to have. But we're actually talking about the wrong thing indirectly here. It really is in part this acceptance of inaccurate, and I believe these are unethical inferences when managers are accused of making people feel bad, or worse, commenting on who that person is simply because the manager is obligated to do her job and tell the direct what went wrong and how we can do it. Could you be willing to do it better next time? Of course, I have had people say at this point, well, clearly, if it's the manager's job to tell them they did something wrong, and then I interject, yes, but it's also the manager's job to tell them they did stuff right, which nobody seems to object to, then the fundamental concept of organizations is wrong, is flawed, and must be torn apart and redone. I'm like, okay, great. Good luck with that. you are now attacking the greatest accomplishment of mankind, humankind. The greatest accomplishment of humankind is large human organizations.
No doubt.
So we've got this idea that, you know, we have to consider the direct's feelings when we give, again, only negative feedback. We don't have any concerns about the direct's feelings when we give positive feedback. But here's the thing, guys. Your organization doesn't have any stake in your past performance, only present and future performance. Now, by the way, I know some of you say, wait, the organization does performance reviews. Sorry, guys, that's not a defense against the point of view. Performance reviews done right are largely about future succession planning. They're not effective feedback discussions. Now, look, guys, again, I want to say it again. We're not saying our direct's feelings don't matter. They do, assuredly. Of course they do. We care about our directs. If we ourselves are ethical, and we know that manager tools managers are indeed ethical. And we do care when their feelings are hurt. We regret their fear and hurt. But the way to address these feelings is not to discuss feelings every time someone gets negative feedback. The way to address direct's feelings is through trust building and relationship building. And by the way, hopefully if you're a longtime listener or community member, you understand that this is why feedback and one-on-ones go together. Not that they have to, not that feedback has to happen in a one-on-one, but essentially a strong, trusting relationship eliminates the vast majority of hurt feelings that directs have after negative feedback. Working on our relationships with our team members allows negative feedback, again, not positive, to be seen as coming from a place of building capability, not personal attacks. It reduces negative feedback from a crunch to a pinch, which strong relationships can easily withstand. And if you don't know, folks, when I say crunch and pinch, there's a famous sociological model called the pinch-crunch model, and we have a podcast about it. It's very helpful, and you should listen to it. Look, no manager, none, can effectively build trust, which trust is part of the robustness of a relationship. No manager can build trust by listening to her direct concerns only when there is negative feedback. The idea that a manager can help a direct over their concerns about negative feedback through a conversation that only happens when there's a mistake, that's just ludicrous, guys. It just doesn't work that way. I only care about you when you feel bad, and then I'll try to make you feel better. All that shows is you're only willing to show you care when somebody screws up. No smart direct will see that as anything other than manipulation. Okay, now I need to show this person I care. And so I'm going to sit down and dialogue with them. And I'm going to say this again, guys. Feedback is both positive and negative. You can make this a lot easier. You can make the hurt feelings. You can make the dialogue problem go away. Give more positive feedback, and you'll be able to give a lot more negative feedback. But you won't if every negative feedback conversation you have takes 15 minutes because you're having this dialogue. You simply won't. If I told managers all over the world, okay, positive feedback takes 10 seconds, negative feedback takes 15 minutes. And by the way, we're about to get into data. They don't give negative feedback. They don't have time. They don't want to have a 15-minute conversation.
Yeah. And directs don't want 15 minutes talking about what they messed up.
Look, I'll reveal something that I joke about at conferences. We ask groups all the time. I think this is in the show notes later that you have a choice. Your boss is going to give you negative feedback. he or she has a choice between taking 15 seconds or 2 minutes. Which one would you choose? Never had a single person ever say 2 minutes.
Yeah,
ever.
Exactly.
They want 15 seconds. They want to rip the Band-Aid off. Why are we challenging this? Why are we saying to people, no. All of human history about the ripping the Band-Aid off is wrong, and we should sit down and wallow in the mistake. By the way, imagine 15 seconds of positive and 15 minutes of negative.
Yeah, that's probably what most people do.
Right? Yeah, after a while, the direct says, wow, positive is trivial. I get 1/60th of that compared to negative. Right? 15 seconds versus 15 minutes? Yeah, the boss doesn't care about positive. He just tosses it off. Negative, though, he's really into. Is that what we want?
Yeah. When I do something good, I get 15 seconds. When I do something bad, I get 2 hours. Like, I guess I'll take less risk.
That's where my longtime joke comes from, where we tell, hey, look, if you ever want to test this theory, folks, you could do it on Zoom. We're recording this in 2021. You could do it on Zoom, but it works even better in the office just because it's an old trope of the office. Let's use the office example. I'll let you figure out what the equivalent in Zoom. It's not hard. So you're in the office and you want to talk to one of your directs about something. And so you see them at their desk rather than sending them a note. You walk over to their desk. Let's say it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And you say, hey, look, I need to talk to you about something. I'm getting ready to go in a meeting, so I don't have time right now. Why don't you stop by my office in the day and we can chat a little bit. Okay, thanks. See you. Okay, now, you're the direct that just got that information. Are you feeling good right now? Are you feeling sporty? I don't think so. I think you're worried. I think you're like, what does he want to talk to me about?
I don't know. I'm just going to spend the entire day feeling good and wondering, what wonderful things is he going to tell me about myself?
How big a bonus? It reminds me a little bit of
I'm getting a promotion.
The positive-minded kid who is, for Christmas, his parents trying to tease, incredibly optimistic kid, and his parents decide to teach him a lesson about the real world. And for Christmas, his present is a big pile of horse poop. A big pile in the barn. And he starts jumping up and down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And they say, why are you jumping up and down? It's horse poop. And he says, if a pile that big, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not how
direct organizations
think.
That kid is not your direct.
Just the opposite. You know, you give a direct a pony, and the first thing they say is, oh, I'm going to have to clean up the poop. Right? So we discovered, by the way, that people won't wait till the end of the day. They won't. In fact, they'll go by at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, poke their head in and say, hey, it's now a good time. And the boss probably says yes. And so they go in, whether they go in at 2 or 4 or 5, it doesn't matter. They go in and they sit down. And the boss says, how's it going? Having a good day? How's Project X going? Yeah? The budget thing worked out? Good. Yeah. Hey, last week there was that thing with the thing. Did it end up resolving? You said it would get resolved this week. You could wait to tell me about it tomorrow during our one-on-one, but I just thought I'd ask now. Okay, Mr. Ms. Direct, what are you thinking? Is your head exploded yet?
Yeah, exactly. Please. All right, here it comes. Please. Here it comes.
Yeah, please. Yeah, no. It's the same. This is all the same thing. And this idea that we have to sit down and dialogue with people is just absolutely ludicrous. Having more time to discuss something, let's scrape at the wound. Let's make it so important. Or, conversely, let's make your feelings so delicate that I have to tiptoe around this thing. And I want you to know that I'm sure you meant well when you made this mistake. Yeah, that's true. I mean, human beings always mean well. I mean, I always ask at conferences, raise your hand if you've made a mistake in the last month. By the way, there are some people who don't raise their hand. And I'm just like, seriously, dude, when is the world going to hit you on the head and make you realize you're a human being and you make mistakes every day? But regardless, I raise my hand and almost everybody else does. And then I say, okay, keep your hand up if you intended to on purpose to mess things up. No, of course you didn't. You did what you thought was best and it turned out bad. That's part of the human condition. And part of it is because our goals aren't clear. Our resources aren't available. Our time is limited. Our knowledge is limited. It's normal. This is normal stuff. And yet somehow we're supposed to help the direct through their feelings, their difficult feelings, by validating for them that they had good reasons. I don't need to validate their feelings. They already know they had good reasons. And by the way, I think the world of this person. I don't think their feelings need validated, nor their reasons need validated. I've never seen this person do something intentionally to screw things up. And I don't think they would start now. And if, in fact, I thought they would do something intentionally to screw things up, I'd probably fire them. I mean, I love them. I want them to be well and safe somewhere else. But if you're intentionally messing with the mission obligations of the organization or our team, you probably got to go. Okay, so that's at a high level our general defense. Folks, I've been asked by everybody on the staff to ask this, and so I'm just going to say it. For those of you who are listeners, and perhaps part of the community where we have a connection with you through an email address, for the last, almost the last 10 months or so, you have been getting daily things, I think. That ended a couple of weeks ago. And I've gotten a bunch of notes from people that said they had signed up for a license in order to keep getting weekly things, I think. But everyone here says, I should ask everyone, are you missing things, I think, because you're not a licensee? I would encourage you to become a licensee. It is our core audience. We put more value in licensees than we do anything else, including corporate clients. And in addition to getting things, I think, which we think is a nice sort of lanyap, there are also all of the show notes for all of the casts in our archive for years, as well as now during this, our 15th anniversary, and in honor of the difficulties put upon us by the pandemic, a license includes the interviewing series, resume workbook, effective relationships, and a bunch of other products that normally would be sold separately. I encourage you to become a licensee. And then once you start getting things, you can, or things I think, you can send me mail and tell me what you think.
So, dude, I think that's, I think we're around almost a half an hour here. I think, and our next point's fairly long. So let's stop here and pick this up next week.
Yeah, I will say that I told you in advance it was long. I think it's like a typical cast might be 11, 15 pages with the large type for my old eyes. And I think this one's 35 pages. It's one of the most fun casts I've written in a long time. I like writing all the casts, but this one was particularly fun.
It's such an important thing. This is in our Trinity when we teach people how to do all this stuff, how to be an effective manager. One-on-ones, relationships, yeah, they get that. And then feedback. Feedback, just managers have just this big fear about giving feedback, and the great news is it's really not that hard.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that they have a great fear about giving it, but they don't have a great fear about receiving it. But again, you got to go back to as long as they trust their boss.
Yeah,
where trust becomes the coin of the realm.
How many of you would not want to know if you were messing up? Would not want to hear from your boss in about a 10 or 15 second. "Quote unquote conversation."
Yeah,
how many of you wouldn't want that? Like nobody.
Yeah, how would you like to know right now that your boss has some problems with you, but he or she's not willing to tell you? That making you feel any better? I don't think so.
Exactly.
But then somehow as bosses, we don't say, "I'm not feeling great about what just happened, so I'm gonna hold." No, we don't say, "I'm gonna go talk to him. I want to treat them the way I want to be treated." Golden rule. Yeah, exactly.
Crazy. Yeah. Just wait. Just wait a year. Tell me my performance.
Oh, that's good.
All right, my friend. We'll
Thanks,
pick this up later.
Okay.
Take care. So long, everybody.